You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O. News Talk WLOB. Johnny B. Good. We don't have Johnny B. Good, but we do have Kate Krukowski Gooding. And so that's close enough. How are you doing today, Kate?
Kate B. Gooding.
Kate B. Gooding. This could be your new theme song beyond the show. You may want to play that at home. Johnny B. Good. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Kate is the founder and executive director of Youth Entrepreneurship Adventures and president of Build-A-Biz.
I am.
And I think in all over the country, people are talking about business and opportunities for kids. But here in Maine, I think it's especially important that we focus on that because of our economic situation. But before we get into that, why don't we spend a couple minutes talking about kind of your backstory and how you ended up here in Maine and where you grew up, and then we'll talk about the two organizations.
Well, I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, and my mom was born in Moose River, Maine, and she went down to Connecticut for work because there's not a lot going on in Jackman for big jobs. Mm-hmm. Met my dad, got married, had all of us. We spent all our vacations and extra time in Jackman, and slowly each of us started moving up to Maine. And so we finally all got up here, and my mom and everybody else, and we love it.
Yeah, Maine is a special place. I don't know if, you know, we talk about it a lot on the show where I think everyone from different parts of the country feel as though their communities are special, but
Maine is special.
Maine is special, well, you know.
You know, we're as geographically challenged as we are.
Right.
Maine is really a small community.
I was just in Florida a couple of days ago meeting with some people from all over the country, and as soon as they heard that I was from Maine, it was like this magical thing, like, oh, what's it like in the winter? What's it like with L.L. Bean or the ocean and lobsters and blueberries? And I don't know if people in New Jersey get that in the same way. Like if I had said, oh, I'm from New Jersey, I don't know if it would have been like, oh, man, that Newark is beautiful in the summer.
No, you know, they would just say, oh, which exit?
Yeah, which exit on the turnpike or, yeah. And in New Jersey, they still don't have that self-service gas thing, which will have to be another show. I don't get it. Like, every time you get gas in New Jersey, there has to be a person there pumping it.
Seriously?
Seriously. It's a tax thing. It's an employment thing. But it's a thing. And if you try to pump your own gas, they get upset. Yeah. Happened to me just last week.
Well, they're trying to keep people in jobs.
I think that may be at the root of it, but it seems a little counterintuitive because, you know.
No, I agree.
But we'll have to do another show on that. So you ended up here, back up here in Maine. So talk a little bit about the nonprofit organization, Youth Entrepreneurship Adventures, mm-hmm. YEA, and how that kind of connects with Build-A-Biz.
Well, how about if I tell you why I started it?
You know what? I think we should start with why you started it, and then we will get into the other two things. Absolutely.
So I worked for Eastern Maine Development Center in the Market Development Center as a lean manufacturing consultant. Okay. So I worked with all the manufacturers in Maine, government contract, metal, lumber, everything. Worked there for a couple of years. Then I went over, got a job as the executive director of Maine Metal Products Association, which is now Maine Manufacturing, and worked very closely with Governor King in regards to trying to make or have teach the kids the focus of entrepreneurship then and having them embody the entrepreneurship. So looking at the trades schools,
right,
versus the academics, because of the type of community we have and the geographical challenge that we have, kids they're not all academics.
Right.
And so let them understand that there are options and they can be just as proud to take on a trade, I mean, because they make a lot more money than some people who aren't in the trade, actually.
And part of it's about money, I guess, and compensation, but also it's fulfilling. I mean, I think that we've over-indexed. I think education is critically important. I just don't believe that it has to be in a four-year university format. Education can come into vocational education, life experience. People have had great careers in the military. But somehow we've, in the last few decades, have kind of moved into a kind of belief system where college is for everyone and everyone has to go through this cookie cutter thing. And for most people, it's an important step, and it's enriching and fulfilling, but I don't believe that it has to be for everyone.
And there's so many youth now that really love experiential learning, and that's how they learn.
Right.
You know, I am one of them. And so I had worked with, and so I really, to get back to that, so I loved working it with all the manufacturers throughout the state, and I worked really hard in trying to get the message across to get kids involved in technical colleges at that point. And then if they felt that they needed to go further to start their own company, then go ahead and go and get a four-year degree.
Right.
So I then met my husband online, moved out to Mount Desert Island.
Okay, we got to back up a little bit here, Kate. You met your husband online. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So you were on the leading edge of the whole online thing.
I've been on the leading edge all my life.
I am guessing in many categories you have been on the leading edge. But it's the kind of thing where today in 2014, not only do people openly talk about it, but it's the platform of choice, right, for people, Match.com and all the different other stuff. And
everybody
so,
is so busy.
Yeah, everyone's so busy and everything is so accelerated with technology. Why wouldn't you want to pare down the dating universe to people that had similar interests, right?
Right. And that's exactly what it is you, I learned very quickly what type of person I wanted. Don, he wrote complete sentences. He was articulate.
Punctuation? Did he go with punctuation
yes,
too?
Yes, he did.
Oh, fantastic.
He's my editor.
He's your editor. Oh, fantastic. So you met Don online.
Right. Moved up to Mount Desert. Then he sold his acapella, his worldwide acapella business.
Right.
Moved back down to Portland. And both of us, I mean, we're both serial entrepreneurs. So I said, now is my chance. I can make a difference creating something that youth can look at, some sort of a education, and started looking around online and discovered Lemonade Day, which is a nationally licensed program. And we had a Skype call with corporate. I got involved with it. We did it for 2 years.
What is Lemonade Day?
Lemonade Day is an entrepreneur program teaching youth how to start a business using a lemonade stand as a vehicle.
So that becomes, it's probably not the big economic driver, but that becomes the structure.
Yes.
And how you get inventory, how you advertise, how you deal with money. And then they use the kind of the micro business of lemonade to try to explain how you do something bigger?
Yes. However, what I did not like for an outcome of that was that the hundreds of kids that registered to participate did not go through the program. They set up, I had volunteers across the state, they set up their stands. They had never gone through the program because they were 14. They were little tiny modules, but you know, and it was all hardcover, you know, there were two leaflets, but they set up their stand just to make money. They didn't read, so they didn't understand about the budgeting, the marketing, the advertising, the customer service, spend, save, share, you know, how to spend money on themselves, save money, and then share it with community. You know, I'm trying to instill
right.
all these things from the kids from ages 5 to 18. So I talked with my board, and I said, you know, we are not making a difference. And that's what I wanted, because the biggest problem I had, we were faced, the companies that I work with, was they did not have an educated workforce to draw from. And so how can we draw from an educated workforce if we don't educate them or make them aware of entrepreneurship? And you need the entrepreneurship skills that we have now. It's a very, very simple course. You know, it brings a lot of awareness to the children. You know, it also teaches them some responsibility, you know, of what they need going forward. But you know what most importantly is that these skills are skills that you learn to become an entrepreneur, to start your own business. And if you are going to work for another company,
right.
If you want to excel within another company, it's going to be important for you to understand how to progress through the company. And if you don't understand all the different components of a business, you're not going to excel.
So talk about YEA a little bit and talk about what Build a Biz, how that kind of came to be. By the way, we have Kate Krukowski-Gooding here in the studio. She's the founder and executive director of Youth Entrepreneurship Adventures and president of Build a Biz. So talk a little bit about how those organizations came about.
So Youth Entrepreneurship Adventures is actually the umbrella that allows me to develop all nonprofit education work programs underneath it. And so Lemonade Day was first, Build a Biz, you know, looking into having a camp in the summer, you know, mentor programs, you know, anything that the state needs, I would love to be able to develop some sort of education and curriculum.
And you know, speaking about the state and what the state needs, What kind of reception have you gotten from school departments and school districts? Because this falls a little outside the day-to-day realm. Are they resistant to this type of, it's not curriculum, but it's a program.
Well, you know what? It's not that they're resistant. It's that they are so overwhelmed with everything that they have on their plate right now. You know, the standardized testing, they're consumed by it, you know, trying to keep all the grades up of all the kids. And so even though I tried to market this as an after-school program, you know, they just didn't have they're stretched so thin. So when Commissioner Bowen was in office, I had met with him, and he got it. He said, we have to make this happen. And so I was all excited, and we were going to work starting last September, and then he left. And so, you know, here we are in limbo. Here we are in limbo.
Do you have any kind of policy connection in Augusta in terms of either in state government or the legislature, other people that you've talked to? Because it seems on the face of it, and we'll talk about more of the detail, but it seems like anything that helps kids in healthy endeavors, whether it's athletics or arts or, in this case, something that's really critical. Any traction in those areas?
I haven't. You know, I've spoken to several of our constituents, and we have their endorsement. Again, they're busy also, and so I haven't really made much traction. But I know somebody going to be a senator in the future, and that's, you know, I'm going to be right there with him.
Well, you're alluding to my recently launched state Senate campaign.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
somebody maybe running here in Senate District 25, which consists of Cumberland, Falmouth, Yarmouth, Gray, a small part of Westbrook, and Chabig and Long Island.
Which is a large of constituents of children in my field.
There's a tremendous amount of children. I think that, what was it, do you think, that made you focus in this area on children in terms of doing this type of work, which I think is so important, as opposed to a broader kind of scope of
fail fast, fail cheap. Kids will research. When they get passionate about something, they'll research and they'll fall down and they'll get up and they'll try further. And this is when you want them to do it. The more experience we gain as we get older, the less risks we are willing to take. So get these kids when they want to take these risks. I mean, listen to this. So last year, we have this little youth Shark Tank competition called Bangor Savings Bank Elevator Pitch.
Right.
And the top winner was a 12-year-old who won $1,000. For her business, and now she's working with attorneys in Boston and Portland on a patent potential product. So we can't, you know, because of NDA, now we can't really talk about it. So I have another group of kids that have this other product, and I'm afraid the same thing is going to happen. So we have kids that are really starting to focus on the science technology track, well, at least that are getting involved with Build-A-Biz now, you know, that I'm seeing this. And so I'm hoping that this is an example will shed light on other kids.
I think you're onto something. I think that when you look at...
I know I am.
But I think that when you look at, like, the Zuckerbergs and stuff with Facebook, and you look at Jobs and the guys who started Apple, and they weren't necessarily young children, but they were... A lot of our innovation comes from people young enough that they don't have fear of failure or rejection. What are the next? Tell us about the youth entrepreneurship adventures and some specific programs. And by the way, the website for Build-A-Biz is www.build-a-biz.me. So if people wanted to go to that website, what would they see if they were interested in information for their kids or their family?
They would see where they could register. Mm-hmm. It talks about registration. It talks about the two different levels of program, the 5 to 9 year old and the 10 to 18 year olds. 5 to 9 year olds, I worked really closely with John Boyer's kids at USM, and they developed these really cool 2.5 minute videos. So if you have a child 5 to 9 and wants to start a lemonade stand, cookie stand, you sit down with them for an hour. You can go through the program.
Really?
It's that simple. And then there's a little business plan questionnaire at the end. You know, you want to make them feel like they've developed a business plan. They answer in these questions, they send it in, and the best unique stories win cash at our award ceremony. And then the 10 to 18-year-olds, of course, is a little bit, you know, more challenged. You know, there's 4 text modules on starting a business, setting your goals, marketing, advertising, budgeting. It's the same topics in both 5 to 9 and 10 to 18, but a lot more challenge. And so the 10 to 18-year-olds have the text. They also have a coaching module for the self-motivated kids. So it takes them through, if you develop a software package, what things are important in your business. And then also, they have, after each module, they have a questionnaire to help them. Then at the end, they have a business plan questionnaire. And then they also, for the last 2 years, as we have the little Youth Shark Tank, the elevator pitch competition by Bangor Savings, where they send in a 90-second video pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And the top 3 kids are going to compete on Channel 5, you know, our local channel
station. Do you have
judges
for this?
We do. Let's see, Effley Bailey.
Hello.
Don Gooding.
Hello.
These are all entrepreneurs.
Boy, that Don Gooding, what a nice guy.
He is.
He really is something. He was on the show
last
year.
They call him the entrepreneur pollinator. Did you know that?
I did not know the inside term for Don. By the way, that's your husband who was on here last year. What a nice guy. But if you could get the curriculum, you know, it hasn't worked out well with getting at least this thinking, if not your programs, incorporated into school districts. But how would you, and what age do you think is the most appropriate age that if you could add a small bit of curriculum into the school system from your experience of working with these young people, what would be the best age to at least, you know, I don't know if it would be called life skills or accounting skills or marketing skills, but it's something that has real value because, you know, I think kids at a young age, whether it starts with a lemonade stand and it goes to cutting grass or shoveling snow, being able to understand kind of the relationship between the value of money, the value of work, those types of things are important life lessons that come from being an entrepreneur in some way.
Well, the 8 to 12-year-olds, you know, if I want to make a definite impact or had to, if I had the restraint of, you know, a certain age group, I would say that would be it, because they are starting to develop their interest, their curiosity, they're researching, they're testing things. You know, I mean, tell me your kids didn't test the limits between 8 and 12 years old.
Right. That never really stops. My kids continue to test, continue to...
I still test my mom. I mean, you know, we do it. But I mean, that really is the time that, you know, the middle school age that the kids really are starting to look at.
What would be a curriculum or some curriculum elements that schools could kind of teach in a way? Would it be incorporated into math, which is kind of a natural component of business and being an entrepreneur, or would it be in some other area?
No, I think math and science are two important ones. But I also, if there's anything, the humanities for soft skills.
Right.
You know, things that we used to have in school, well, they don't teach it anymore. I mean, you know, home economics, you learn team building skills.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so many courses that are, they call fluff courses now, so they don't even carry them. For all you kids that still want to get involved and win up to $1,000, deadline is April 23rd.
April 23rd.
For them to complete the program. Okay, now we'll talk about my cookbooks.
Oh, boy. Yeah, boy. So, your 4 books, Black Fly Stew Series, Wild Maine Recipes, Simple Gourmet Lamb with Sign Dishes, 50 Ways to Eat Something, Free Range Fish and Lobster. Where do you get the titles? And talk a little bit about your cookbook series.
So I cooked all my life. So I said, I'm going to write a cookbook. So the first cookbook, Wild Maine Recipes, started to be just game meat. The Wild Maine Recipes is probably one of the fastest selling ones. I just did my 3rd print because it's unique to Maine. And if you'd seen the covers of my books, they're just very colorful and bright. I work with an artist up on Mount Desert. And he does all my, I commission him to do every cover.
Wow. And the different books, if people are looking for them in Amazon?
They go under probably either my name or the names of the titles. Wild Maine Recipes, 50 Ways to Eat a Beaver, Simple Gourmet Lamb, Free Range Fish and Lobster.
I'd love to have you come back and maybe you could cook. Maybe we could do a cooking segment.
That would be fun.
I'm totally down with that.
You're totally down. Shani likes the name.
I bet you'd love my goat's milk peanut butter fudge.
Oh, Yes, please.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming. It was great meeting you. In the work that you're doing, bringing attention and education and programs for youth involving young entrepreneurs and Build-A-Biz and all the other things you're doing is so important, because here in Maine, it's such a wonderful place, the greatest state in the country, but we do have a weak economic engine. So anything and everything we can do to help people and keep people here, particularly young people, I think is great.
Yeah, we need to build Maine from the youth up.
That sounds like a campaign slogan. We may have to use that.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate Krakowski-Gooding, founder and executive director of Youth Entrepreneurship Adventures and President. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve on News Talk WLOB 1310. We'll be right back.